The Word of God, as lifted out of the writings of the Chroniclers, chapter 20, verse 12, is going to be our foundation for the message of the morning. The latter part of verse 12, and I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. And if you have it, then, well, I'm going to read it first from the New King James. The latter part says, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." The Message Bible says we are helpless before this vandal horde ready to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. I had several subjects to try to tag this message with, because there were several things that the Spirit was giving to me, and I just kept mulling over and over. I was going to say, the subject is what to do when you don't know what to do. And then I thought about that, and I heard the Methodist boys in the back of my mind saying, if you can't say the subject in four or less words, you have already flunked. So I had to rethink that, because the Methodist boys that I ran with, they were rough on you when it came to preaching. I mean rough. Sometimes folk would just stand in the pulpit and the boys would get up and start walking out. Say, where you going? Oh, man, he done flunked already. So I'm praying that I don't flunk. But then I thought about it, and I said to the Lord, Lord, what would you want me to share? And he just said, talk about the prayer of Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to talk about the prayer of Jehoshaphat. That's four words. Okay. So I did not flunk thus far. Here we have, in the writings of the Chroniclers, a story that is very, very important, because it speaks to us in this day and time as to how we should deal with the troubles that plague us in life. There was a song that folk used to sing. I don't know if they sing it anymore. They would say, time is filled with swift transitions. Not on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You all still remember? Praise the Lord. There's some folk that would think I was speaking in tongues if I said that in their church. This particular prayer is lifted at a very critical time in the history of Judah. But before we deal with it, let's just go back a little bit and look at how we got here. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa. The name Jehoshaphat means God has judged, or God will judge. He was a king that had a good example as to how to reign and rule over his people, because his father Asa was a man that followed the dictates and the commandments of God. And as long as he followed the Lord, God prospered him, God blessed him, and in addition to blessing Asa personally, he blessed the kingdom of Judah. All right. We are speaking now of a divided kingdom. Israel is no longer one. There is no longer northern and southern Israel. Israel has broken away from its partner and its brother Judah. Israel dwells in the south with Samaria as its capital, and Jerusalem is the seat of power in Judah. Yeah. They are not one nation anymore, but rather they are two separate nations under one former banner. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, raised him in a way that would bear out, train up a child when you have one, because when he is old or when she is old, he will not or she will not depart from that training. So Jehoshaphat had a good example in Asa, his father. And at the age of 35, he ascends to the throne and begins to rule over Judah. As long as he followed the Lord made him to prosper. He was blessed in so many ways. God increased him financially. He increased him in popularity. And as long as he was sitting on the throne, Judah enjoyed a great deal of peace, a great deal of prosperity, and a great deal of success. Jehoshaphat built castles. Jehoshaphat built many, many large storehouses for the resources of Judah. But then along the way, as Jehoshaphat's son came on the scene and grew up in his house, the day came when he decided that he wanted to take a wife. And he went to Ahab, the ruler of Israel, because apparently his daughter was a fine young thing. Athaliah was her name. And just listening to the way that rolls off the tongue, she must have been something to look at. But look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. Because you see, Ahab had a wife who has enjoyed fame throughout the annals of time. Her name was Jezebel, which means, where is the prince? And that was a chant that was offered up whenever Baal was worshipped, because they believed him to be the prince of power in the spirit realm. And they would call out, where is the prince? Because they wanted him to show up. You've heard stories about Jezebel. You've heard stories about Ahab. But we don't know too much about Athaliah, but she grew up in the house of Ahab and the house of Jezebel. And as a result of that, whenever you have two different belief systems trying to unite under one roof, look at your neighbor and say, you got problems. Oh, y'all don't believe me when I say you've got problems. Now, if you look at it on the surface, that's a good marriage. It's a good marriage socially, because it is the talk of the kingdoms. It is a good marriage politically, because now you have an alliance between northern Israel and southern Judah. And it begins to remind them of the days when the nation itself as a whole was one under one rulership. It is a boon politically. It is a boon socially. And it's also a boon militarily. Because suddenly you have armies coming together from the north and the south, and they form a formidable military power. Here they are. But you see, when you have these factions coming together, unless the Lord builds the house. Y'all didn't hear that. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain that build it. And dare I say, God wasn't happy with this marriage. Amen. God was not happy with the marriage. And we see as things begin to play out that Jehoshaphat one day decided to go and visit with Ahab. And while they're there enjoying the splendor and the royal treatment that Samaria had bestowed upon Jehoshaphat, Ahab kind of slips up to him and begins to whisper in his ear. And let him know that he is having trouble with the Syrians. And he says to Jehoshaphat, now that we're family, you know, we brothers now, you know, now that we're family, you know, I've got this problem with the Syrians. And if we join our forces together, then we will be able to defeat them, and I can take back the land that they stole from us. And it will be a great victory. And so Jehoshaphat, not feeling too comfortable with this idea, says to Ahab, well, we ought to talk to the Lord about this. And Ahab says, oh, I got that covered. And he goes and calls out 450 of his prophets. Yes, sir. 450 of them. But the problem with them is that they're all false prophets. Yeah. And Ahab stands before the prophets and says, shall we not go up against our enemies? And the prophet says, oh, yes, go up against them, for the Lord will be with you. And I've got some news for you while I'm in this key. You can't always depend upon the people that say they represent God. Because sometimes they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Go up against them. The Lord will be with you. You know, that reminds me of that song, Something Got a Hold on Me. I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right because something got a hold on me. And I got a friend that says, you better check out and find out what that something is. Jehoshaphat still wasn't comfortable. And so he said, hey, don't you have anybody else? So yeah, I got another prophet, but you know, I don't like him. I don't like him because his name is Curtis Luther Shedd. I don't like him because he don't tell me what I want to hear. You know, he don't tell me anything that soothes my soul. He doesn't tell me anything that tickles my fancy. All he does is tell me, thus saith the Lord. And sometimes he comes up with things that I just don't want to hear. Prophet said, you go up there if you want to, but God's not going to be with you. Said, see, I told you. Don't like him. Get rid of him. So Israel and Judah march off to battle against the Syrians. And the Syrians rout the entire army. Jehoshaphat barely makes it away from battle with his life. Look at your neighbor and say, you better be careful who you line yourself up with. Amen. You better be careful. Sometimes, even though it looked good on the outside, it is rotten on the inside. It may look holy on the outside, but inside there may be a throne dedicated to Satan himself. Better be careful. So Here we are. Jehoshaphat is now in a weakened position. Here's a man that, using the example of his father, determined that it was necessary to bring his people back to a right relationship with God. Here's a man that said that the way in which we should bring people back into a right relationship with God is if the people of God are taught the word of God. Yeah. Here's a man that decided, well, in order to teach the people of the word of God, and many of them may not be able to read, but they can at least hear. And so therefore, he got hundreds of priests and set them out throughout his kingdom under the rulership of the princes that he had established over the provinces. And their responsibility and their only responsibility was to teach the word of God. And they taught the word of God. And as the people heard the word of God, they began to align their lives with the dictates and the commandments of Yahuwah. Uh-huh. And not only that, but Jehoshaphat began to get rid of the altars that were dedicated to the worship of foreign gods. He didn't do it all at once, but little by little, he began to get rid of burning incense to idols and offering all kinds of strange sacrifices. He got rid of those things, and the word tells us, my son would say, the Bible says that God was pleased with that which they did, and he blessed them abundantly to the point that there was revival in the land. Oh, hallelujah. There was revival in the land. Oh, we need revival. Well, that's another subject. We need revival in the land. But here is Jehoshaphat. The word suddenly comes to him now that there is a horde of marauders, a roving band of people that are great in number, and they are making their way toward Jerusalem. And their reasoning for doing so is they recognize Jehoshaphat is in a weakened position. But not only that, they gang themselves together in order that they might overrun Judah. And the word says that when Jehoshaphat heard this, he began to tremble and he began to quake. Are you all still here? He became very, very concerned. And yes, my iPad just went out, just in case you're wondering. He became very concerned because of the fact that he began to look at what was facing him. And in his own strength and in his own ability, he realized he was outnumbered. He realized that he was outgunned. And he realized that he was outclassed. And he did not see any way possible, humanly speaking, to overcome the onslaught of the adversary that was coming towards him. And the word says that before he did anything, he feared God. Are y'all still listening? I read one commentator that said, yes, Jehoshaphat was afraid of the enemy, but he was more afraid of God than he was of the enemy. Because you see, when you look at that word fear, it doesn't just mean to be trembling because of impending doom, but it means to tremble because of great reverence and great respect. And he was saying ultimately that he knew what God could do. Oh. He knew what God could do. And he was reverentially fearful of God. In other words, he had to go back to the old landmark. He had to go back to where he came from, and he began to have to go. He had to go back where he was raised from. Andre Crouch said, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first believed. Jehoshaphat went back, said, now, we got this situation with which we have to deal. How are we going to deal with it? Well, first of all, we're going to fast. Oh, I like that. We're going to turn our plates down, We're going to fast and we're going to talk to the Lord. And we're going to see what the Lord says about this mess that we're in. And I love the way he begins to pray. You know, sometimes only the pastor can pray like prayer ought to be lifted up. So why he got to pray? I can pray just as good as him, but there's a difference. You see, because the Lord has positioned the pastor. You know, I used that Greek word episkopos earlier. And literally it means overseer. Now, y'all ready for the deep, deep understanding of what that word literally means? Y'all ready? You all ain't ready. It means to look over and see. Y'all, that's deep. Y'all wanted some, you know, Hebrew and Greek thrown in there. It means to look over and see. Now, let me explain that to you. Not everybody can look over and see. You see, there's a reason why this desk is the height that it is. Y'all didn't catch that. Because, you see, whoever stands behind here can look over and see. Y'all can't look over and see from out there. Oh, somebody getting mad now. Look at your neighbor and say, he don't care if you get mad anyway. You look over and you see. But not everybody that stands up here can look over and see. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm about to get happy up in here. Because to stand behind here as the one that God has arranged and orderly placed, one has to be called of God. One has to be appointed of God. One has to be anointed of God. And one has to be set, placed and orderly arranged by God. And when that person is placed by God, they are now qualified to look over and see. Because God gives that person sight beyond the natural. And they begin to get insight into the realm of the spiritual. And I know there ain't nobody in this house that would attest to the fact, but I've been places where the overseer has been preaching the word, and it hit me right in the depths of my heart like that person was reading my mail. I know there ain't nobody in here that's ever said, Reverend, it seemed like you was talking just to me. And the pastor may say, well, I didn't know I was talking to you, but God knew. Because God knows exactly what you need when you need it. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you are and where you've been and where you go. Ain't nobody up in here happy but me. The overseer. Jehoshaphat is the overseer. And he begins to talk to God. Where does he talk to God? He talks to God in the midst of the company of people at the temple of God. He called together the men. He called together the women. He called together the little boys and the little girls. Everybody that was there that was able to make it to the temple, he called them there because he was going to talk to God in behalf of the people and in behalf of himself. There comes a time when you can't find any solutions anywhere, and you need to go to the Lord in prayer. Mama can't help you. Daddy can't help you. Auntie can't help you. Your cousins and your friends can't help you, but there is God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Jehoshaphat takes a position. I like the way that he set himself in front of the temple, and he began to cry out to the Lord. And as we examine this prayer, we can see some things that we can take home. Are y'all still here? I hope I'm not boring you, because I'm excited myself here. He stands in front of the temple in the new courtyard, the word says, and he calls out to the Lord, and he says, "Oh God, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven above and ruler of all the kingdoms below?" Oh, now that's powerful right there. Because you see, in that day and time, look at your neighbor and say, "In that day and time." Say it again, "In that day and time." Many of the kingdoms and the nations of the earth believed in territorial gods. Y'all didn't catch that. They believed in territorial gods. In other words, as long as I'm in Pine Point, I got my Pine Point God. And when I come over to Liberty Heights, there's another God in Liberty Heights, and I've got to pay homage to him. But when I go down to South Central, there's another God in power over there, and I've got to pay homage to that God. And when I go to the North End, there's another God over there. But Jehoshaphat, when he begins to call out to God, he recognizes that there is only one God. He is the God of God. Not to say that there aren't other gods out there, and not to say that there aren't people who bow themselves down to their gods, but the God that Jehoshaphat served is the God of gods. He is the God of all kingdoms. He is the God of all power, not only in heaven, but also in the earth. And he is the one to whom all gods shall bow themselves down. I heard the writer say that at the name of Jesus, who is very God himself, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, and all shall proclaim that he is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. They tell me when George Frederick Handel performed Messiah for the first time, that the last song that was sung in that oratorio was the Hallelujah Chorus. And we're told that King George was there to hear the first presentation of Messiah. And that's the proper title, not the Messiah, just plain Messiah. And the word says that when he heard the Hallelujah Chorus, he stood to his feet because he realized that they were talking about a king that was greater than King George, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever and evermore. I like the bridge. I like the bridge in that song. In that piece, it says, "The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ." That ain't in here. "And he shall reign forever and forever." King of Kings, Lord of Lords, are you not God in heaven and ruler of all kingdoms? Don't you have all power and all might in your, I like what the Message Bible says, not in your hand, it's in your fist. Y'all didn't catch that. It's in his fist. What does that mean? It means that his hand is closed when it comes to power. Y'all missed that one. His hand is closed when it comes to power. And the only way that the power ever escapes from his hand is when he opens it. And he only opens it when he shows favor. And y'all didn't hear what I said. He only opens it when he shows favor. That's why I love to hear that song that says, "Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to bless you and praise you too, because your grace and mercy has brought me through. It means that I know that my God holds all power in his fist. I know that he holds the fate of the universe in his fist. I know that in him is life, in him is strength, in him is power, in him is abundance, in him there is splendor, in him there is glory, and it's all in his fist. Y'all didn't catch that. Y'all missed that one. Somebody said, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And in his right hand, right fist, there are pleasures forever. Has it ever crossed your mind? If all of that's in his right hand fist, can you imagine what else there is in the other hand? Boggles the mind. Holds all power in his fist. Watch this. He says, no one stands a chance against you. No one stands a chance against you. Yeah, even these territorial guys, they don't stand a chance against you. You were the one who drove out the inhabitants of this land and gave it to your people. You were the one who brought Israel in and turned it over permanently to us, your people. The descendants of Abraham, you called him your friend. They lived here and built a holy house of worship to honor you, saying, when the worst happens, whether there be war or flood or disease or famine, y'all getting this? Yes. That we take our place before this temple. We know that you are personally present in this place. And we pray out our pain and our trouble, and we know that you will listen and give victory. Sounds like when Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, and he talked to the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, and then he said these immortal words, if thy people, which are called by thy name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy face and turn from their wicked ways, then will you hear from heaven. Will you forgive our sins and will you heal our land? Well, watch this. As it happened, he continues to pray. Men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir have shown up. I like this. They just kind of showed up. You didn't let Israel touch them when they came out of the land of Egypt. You see, they could have marched through these lands because God was on their side. And they could have routed every single one of these people on their way to the promised land. But God specifically said, no, you will not do that. See, sometimes you don't know what God has in store. You may think that you know better than God, but God's already got it under control. Are y'all still listening? I'm going to be through in just a minute. Now watch this. He says, we detoured around them and did not lay a hand on them. And now they've come to kick us out of the country you gave us. Oh, dear Lord, won't you take care of them? We're helpless before this vandal horde ready to attack us. Now, here we go. We don't know what to do. You ever been there? Some of y'all act like you haven't been there. You know, there's some folk that will just be smug and, I've never been there. And I know. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows. Yeah, I know, because I used to be one of you. Yeah, I used to be smug like that. Oh, yeah. You know, I was a part of the WAD movement, which is closely akin to the prosperity movement. I was part of the WAD movement, you know. You remember, some of y'all were here back in the, was it 1999 or 1998? And I came in here, I was singing, we want the word. Gotta have that word. Oh, we. I was downstairs in my basement the other day, and I happened to come across a copy of the paper that was written after that service, and I began to hear in my mind the strains of, we want the word. And I started dancing down there in my cellar. Gotta have that word. And anyway, I just want to make sure y'all were still awake. Got to have a little levity around here. Now watch this. We're helpless before this vandal horde waiting to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you. Yeah. Notice, when you take this prayer apart, he shows us how we ought to pray. You know, I love for, Reverend, I can just pray like you. Well, pray the word. It is. Y'all didn't catch that. Pray the word. Now, I've had folk come to me and say, you know, I want to get so strong for God. I want to get so strong in the word. And you know, well, come to Bible study. Lord have mercy. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm busy. You ought to come to Bible study. Let me go a little bit further, because I know I'm going to get myself in trouble, but look at your neighbor and say, he don't care. See, I've learned something. Just to get the word is not enough. I was expecting a bigger amen than that, but that's okay. That's all right. I'll forgive you. But just to get the word is not enough. See, you have to ingest the word. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You have to ingest the word. It doesn't matter if you are a biblical encyclopedia and you know it from Genesis to Revelation. If you don't live it, then it ain't gonna help you not one iota. Y'all didn't catch that, see? See, you have to ingest the word. I would rather be around some folk that don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but they believe what they know.
There
it is.
All right. Say that.
Hello. Amen. See, my grandmama didn't know a whole lot about the word of God. She only completed the third grade, but she knew about Amazing Grace. My granddad finished high school and worked in a brass factory. He wasn't a biblical scholar, but he knew, O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight. On whom an affliction I call, my comfort by day and my song in the night, my hope, my salvation, my all. He knew that. Are y'all listening to me? And rather than concentrating on trying to dazzle people with your biblical prowess, people don't want to hear a sermon. They would rather see one. Y'all still here? I'm going to be through in just a second. Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Check this out. Jehoshaphat teaches us how to pray. And you see, you would hear him expressing, one commentator said, this is a very elegant prayer. Yes. An elegant prayer from an elegant man. Indeed. But you see, watch this. Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord and he knows exactly how to get into God's presence. And he says, and if you want to talk to God, you got to know how to get into his presence. You see, he begins by saying, oh God, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven and ruler of all kingdoms? Well, that's expressed. You know who God is, and you know how he rules and how he reigns. But I would submit to you that Jehoshaphat, in sharing this, is not so much trying to butter God up, but he's trying to remind himself of who God is and what God can do. You don't think that God is so senile, do you? That he forgets what he has done for you in the past? But we tend to forget. Oh, God, I know you did it in the past, but can you do it now? I've been there. But he comes to the temple of God and he calls out to the God of his ancestors, God in heaven above and God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You hold all power in your fist and no one stands against you. He's reminding himself, because you got to do what his ancestor David did. Because sometimes when hell breaks loose, are y'all still here? Did he say hell? Yeah, he said hell. Sometimes hell breaks loose. And sometimes it seems as though the enemy is coming against you like a flood. Sometimes you look around you and you cannot see anything but blackness. Sometimes you look around you and you can't see anything but adversity. You find yourself like those people who say, I was way down yonder by myself and I couldn't hear nobody pray. Sometimes you get so discouraged that you think that your work is in vain, and you got to remind yourself who God is. You got to remind yourself who God is. Remind yourself what God did in time past. Remind yourself that the God of your past is the God of your present and is the God that is in your future, waiting on you to finally show up. He tells the Lord, and he reminds himself, you had a friend, his name was Abraham, and he was the one that he did what you told him and called him to do. And he looked for a land. He looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You would not let us get rid of our enemies. You told us to go around them, and now here we are in this mess. But here we are in the house of God, crying out to you in the midst of your temple. We don't know what to do. We don't know. We just don't know. But we're looking to you. We're looking to you. The next time you get in a jam, look at the prayer of Jehoshaphat. The next time it seems as though you don't know where to go, look at the prayer of Jehoshaphat. When it seems as though you can't put one foot in front of the other, look at the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Because in it you will find the key to talking to God and causing him to show up in your situation. But let me tell you, sometimes you can't pray elegant prayers. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Sometimes you don't have the erudite and scholarly nature to be able to put all the words together in such an orderly fashion so as to tickle the soul and tickle the fancy of God. Sometimes it seems as though when life gangs up on you and surrounds you with darkness that you can't find the words to say. But I'm so glad to report to somebody in this room that God knows every groan. God knows every moan. Hallelujah. 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 I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. God, I know that you hear me when I call you, because you promised that you would. And I know that no matter how bad it looks, I'm talking to somebody in here now. I know that no matter how bad it looks that you will listen and you will hear and you will give me the victory. And you'll give it to me in the name of Jesus. Well, if you read the story further, you'll find out that the word of God rose up in one that was in the crowd and told them what God had to say to them and let them know that God hadn't forsaken them. Let them know that God hadn't kicked them to the curb and left them by the wayside. And he told them that God was going to give them the victory. Read the story. And you'll find out that God did exactly what he said because of the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Well, I got some news for you. And I'm going to sit down. The news is that the God of Jehoshaphat is the God of solid rock. Y'all didn't hear me. The God of Jehoshaphat is the God of solid rock. He is the God of every member. He is the God of the pastor and his wife. He is the God of every minister. He is the God of every officer. He is the God of every choir member and every musician. He is the God of every usher that loves his appearing. Are you listening to me? He is the God of the doorkeeper. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He's the God of the one who sweeps the floor. Y'all didn't hear me. He's the God of the one who prepares the meals in the kitchen. Y'all didn't hear me. He's the God of the missionaries. He's the God of everyone that is under the auspices of this ministry. And not only you in the church, but also your family and everyone that is connected with you. He is the God of every kingdom. He is the God of every rulership. He is sovereign over all. And in all and through all, he still sits high and still looks low. He is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And let me tell you something before I sit down, that the word says that when they heard the word, they got all excited. And when they heard the word, they began to give God some praise. They began to give God some glory. They began to honor him from the depths of their souls. Because you see, when you hear from the Lord, you ought to get happy about it. When you hear from God, you ought to get excited about it. When you hear from God, you ought to stop being so stuck on yourself and begin to give God some praise. I don't care how much you spent for that suit and how good it looks on you. If the suit looks so good that you can't give God praise, then you need to get out of that suit. I don't care how much you spent on those shoes, but if those shoes are so pretty that you can't come out of your shoes and begin to give him some praise, then you ought to get rid of them shoes. Are you listening to me? The word says that David got so excited when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the land of Jerusalem that he began to dance and he began to praise God. And the word says that he danced so much that he came out of his clothes and was dancing around in his underwear. And his wife Michael was all excited, and yes, about the Ark coming back. But when she saw her husband in his undignified fashion and said, wasn't it nice that the king was parading himself in front of all the people of Israel in his underwear? David said, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet because of what God has done for me. I praise him till I can't praise him no more. I'll praise him in my suit. I'll praise him in my underwear. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll praise him in the noonday. I'll praise him when the sun goes down. I'll praise him when I got a voice. I'll praise him if all I can do is croak. I'll praise him in the dance. I'll whirl around and praise him like I done lost my natural mind, because my God has been so good to me. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. And you don't know
like I know what the Lord has done for me. He's healed my body. He saved my soul. He wrote my name on heaven's roll. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. When I needed him, all I had to do is call him. And he showed up. 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 And he's always on time. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to extol him. I'm going to lift him up because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, give him praise in this house. Hey! Yeah! 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 I'm laughing at the devil now. We just made the devil mad. Give me 2 more minutes and I'm going to let you go home. Where is it? You see that sign, that banner up there? It says Jehovah, which is lifted from the tetragrammaton Yahweh. In the original Hebrew, it reads Yahuwah. But the first part of that name, Yah. Yah. That's why it's contained in Hallelujah. And the correct spelling of Hallelujah is with the Y and not the J. Hey, are you listening? See, because when they call Yah, you don't know how blessed you are, because that name in ancient Israel was only called once a year on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went into the temple and bowed before the Lord of Hosts, and he would call out Yahuwah one time for the atonement of the sins of the people. How blessed you are that you can call that name anytime. Y'all didn't hear me. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The world knows who he is even better than some church folk do. Any Doobie Brothers fans in here? Yeah. Y'all gonna be there. You know where that came from? They asked one of the brothers a question. He said, yeah, I'm gonna be there. And he began to say it over and over again. And the true title of that song was not supposed to be Yamo be there. It was supposed to be Yahweh be there. Y'all didn't catch that. You'll get that tonight. Now the thing is, Israel would not call on that name unless they needed him. They wouldn't call him unless they needed him. And I've learned now that when I call Yah, you know, because that name is also contained in the name that is given to the name that is above all names, Yahushua, which we know as Jesus. When I call him, he shows up. And that's why they didn't call him all the time.
Because whenever they call that name, he'd show up. And not only would he show up, but then he would say, "What do you want?" Y'all didn't catch that. So when I call on Yah, I feel the trembling in my bones now, because I know he showed up. Yes, he did. He showed up. And he says, "Don't be calling on me unless you really, really need me. Because you see, when you call on me, I'm going to show up." He shows up in power. He shows up in healing. He shows up in deliverance. He shows up in splendor. He shows up in majesty. He shows up in great adoration. And he shows up to meet the needs of his people. I dare you to throw your head back and say, "Hallelujah!" Say it again. Hallelujah! Now lift your hands. Throw your head back and say, "Hallelujah!" Yeah, 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 yeah. Say it again, say it again, say it again, say it again. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, glory to God. Somebody just got healed. Somebody just got healed. Somebody just got healed. The doctor didn't know what to do in your case, but the Lord just touched your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody in here is worried about children. The Lord has already come to your rescue and come to your aid. Hallelujah. Somebody in this room has been struggling with trying to make ends meet, but the Lord has already met your need over and above what you expected. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's another person in this room. Your family's turned against you. Family turned against you. Don't want to give you the time of day. Oh, but what they meant for evil, the Lord is using for good. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Is it time to sit down? I hope not. Because you see, I gotta walk this off. I gotta walk this off. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Bishop, what are you doing? I'm spreading the anointing in the name of Jesus. I'm spreading the power in the name of Jesus. Yay! Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you. Bless his name. Anybody in this house? not saved. Anybody in this house doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Where's that sister that was talking about fishing? Where, yeah, wave your hand at me. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I know about fishing because I'm getting ready to drop the net. Fishing pole ain't enough for me. I carry a net with me, and I'm going to throw out my net in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody here that has not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, it's time for you to jump in the net. Jump in the net. Give the Lord Jesus Christ your life. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He doesn't expect you to have everything in order. He doesn't expect you to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. Come just as you are in the name of Jesus, and he'll fill in all the blanks that there may be in your life. If there's some people out there right now that don't know Jesus, come on right now. Come on right now. Come from where you are and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's waiting on you in Jesus' name. Come on.